Good evening. It's Wednesday, the 5th of August, 2009. You're tuned to Truth News, Radio Australia, with your hosts tonight, Herewood Fenton and the Venerable Joshua Jackson. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, planet Earth. Welcome, blogosphere, cybersphere, and all regions of intergalactic space who may be picking up this signal. You never know. You never know. We might we might have a beacon that's rebroadcasting us, for all we know.
Well, yeah. And look, in 20 years' time, when this signal actually bounces off of Mars back to Earth,
that's right.
You could be listening to it as well.
For the people of the future who hear us in some distant galaxy or at some distant point in time, hello to you as well.
Yes. Hopefully we're a lot more evolved by then.
Yes. Maybe you can learn peace. Maybe you can learn from our mistakes. Because we're about to recount to you a whole lot of mistakes that we're engaged in as a species.
We are chronicling the now.
We are indeed. We are chronicling it, and you know, I have to admit, as a planet and as a species and as a time in history, we really are making a lot of big mistakes. Okay, but I in saying that, I'm not one of these crazy, you know, environmentalists that then turns around and says, "Hey, you know, the best thing to do would be to get rid of human beings altogether." No, I'm not of that ilk. As far as I know, neither are you, Joshua.
No, oh, it's just nuts. I mean, to be honest, I think that humans are actually, that will be the savior of our own demise as well as our own demise. So, we've got both sides, the yin and the yang, you know. At the moment, we've got a structure set up ready to destroy. We've got a structure set up in monopolization. We've got structures set up to really incredibly damage the environment, and which is happening. We're incredibly damaging this planet, and the people that are on it, and the animals that are on it, and something, you know, we've got to change our ways. But I don't think the extinction of the human race is. I mean, it's kind of like playing Monopoly. You know, it's this kind of thing of, oh yeah, let's just throw the whole board game in the air instead of. Yeah.
Well, let's move on with the board game. I'll just give you a quick sting here. Okay, well, let's move on with the full show tonight. Full show with Joshua and Herewood. And before we kick into the main news stories, I want to do a little bit of rallying of the troops locally. I want to focus a little on We Are Change Australia. It's an organisation that you may have heard of. Josh and I are, you know, pretty closely associated with it. And, We Are Change Australia is involved in trying to make a difference. You know, we've got film screenings.
Great bunch of people.
A great bunch. And, you know, we've got a film screening coming up on the 22nd of August, which is an absolutely must-see film about the madness of psychiatric medicine and what it's doing to our kids, what it's doing to their brains, to their neurological system, and how the big pharma has totally betrayed their role. You know, they're basically exploiting our kids for gross profit, and carrying governments and medical organizations kind of almost to ransom with their methods and techniques. And this film exposes it all. I mean, and so We Are Change is on the ground here in Sydney. And, you know, if you're in Sydney and you're listening to this, I urge you very strongly to go to wearechange.org.au and join up, you know, join the mailing list, join the meetup group. If you go to the main site there, there's a link to the meetup group. That's meetup.com, which is a social networking site for social groups. And It's really important to join these. You've got to actually become a member. Then you get the benefit. You meet more people that way, and you get all the notifications that we send out. If you really are concerned about what's going on, and you recognize some of the problems that we're in, and we're going to be, you know, going through those in a fine tooth comb shortly. But rather than just listening to it and being frustrated, we're also involved. Truth News is also involved in helping this fledgling activist organization get off the ground, so that we can actually start making a difference. You know, we've got to get out there and start talking to people. Real people.
Absolutely. And folks, it's one of the best things you can do for yourself, because helping, instead of like Carol just said, you feel anger and frustration inside by listening to all the dodgy stuff that's happening in the world. When you actually go out there and you do that little bit for yourself externally, you'll feel so much better. It really is an alleviation of any depression you get from hearing this. By actually actively going there and trying to make a difference.
Yeah, and of course, it's very hard to make a big difference at first, and it can be very hard even after a long time. But you know, think of the people that have been working in like the anti-war movements going back generations. It's been very hard and very disappointing, but you don't give up. You don't just sort of stop. And once you realize the problem, you're kind of duty bound. You really have to do it. And I think with a lot of people, they're in that in-between state where they've kind of like, they've woken up a bit, but they haven't quite admitted to themselves that they've now got to do something. They're in that in-between phase. And we want to help get you beyond the in-between. Okay, because we know a lot of people are in that.
And I know it seems daunting. I mean, sometimes it is like, you know, trying to bail out the Titanic with a thimble with the Pacific Ocean, you know, pouring in. There's so many problems. But if you pick your little battlefield, you know, whether it be fluoride in the water, whether it be mandatory vaccines, whether it be 9/11 truth, whether it be whatever it is that you feel passionate about, whatever it is, if you do your bit to extend the virtues of truth and justice, and if you try to do your bit, it'll just make you feel so much better. And like, you know, what I'm basically saying is, you don't need to take on everything.
Yeah, you've got to find something you want to do, and then be a leader. Yep. Start up a group. I mean, if there's nothing going on in your town, then start something up. If there is something going on, join it. You know, there's always something you can
do. Meetup.com.
Start a meetup group. And if you want to join the We Are Change phenomenon, get in touch with us at We Are Change, and you know, we'll help you set up a chapter. We'll send out an email, and we'll do whatever we can.
Now, the other thing I'd really urge our listeners to do is please, help us out as well. If you see a story that you think is pretty phenomenal that needs to be covered by us, give us a tweet or email. What's the email address there?
You can email editor@truthnews.com.au.
Yeah, or join our Twitter. You know, that's Truth News Oz, Truth News OZ. And tweet us, because some of this stuff is so important. And the other thing I would also urge people to do is donate. And we had a fantastic listener donate just recently, last week. And I'd love to extend my thanks both from Harold and I.
Actually, I was going to get on to the question of donations, thank you for segueing that in. Because we are going to be setting up a chip-in donation option on the site very soon, and we will be calling for donations. Right at the moment, we don't have the mechanism, okay, but we will set it up. But you know, we've been focusing up to this point on building participation. Participation, because there is a little bit too much emphasis in the world of charities and groups out there that are always asking for money. I've been holding back from that, okay? Because I want to see us building something, right? and always focusing on what can you do. But
yes.
But at some point, yes, we are going to be asking for donations, and we hope you'll help us out. But I also really encourage you to get out there and start doing things, because that's really what's got to happen. Organize your own film screening. Organize your own protest group. I mean, we talk on the show on issues that are important, and we've got a reasonably good, I guess, you know, agreement from many of us in this movement about the issues that are the key ones, you know, and that they, okay, what are they? They're issues that are immediately affecting us, that are impinging on our freedom, and that are threatening us, okay? And you can, and there are a lot of other issues out there which are fascinating and may be important, but for example, you can think about the chemtrails, and you can be wondering about it, right? Or you can be thinking about the Illuminati and wondering whether that logo you saw on the bus is an Illuminati symbol. And it's all fascinating, you know. But we have to set priorities. We have to, when we want to accomplish anything, we have to strip it down to something we can take action on. Now, I don't think we're going to have much luck organizing protests about Illuminati's symbols. Or, do you know what I'm... Yeah, you're following me there, aren't you, Josh? I mean, and it's like, it's a bit similar with the chemtrail phenomenon. We don't know enough about it. It may be real. I don't know. A lot of people...
Well, I got an email the other day saying, you know, how many chemtrails you be having? And from a great listener, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I just sent back to him, well I don't know how many chemtrails, because I don't have the infrastructure set up to test. I can't go up and sample some of it, and I don't know if it's contrail, chemtrail, or what.
Yeah, we need to get someone who's got the money to send a fighter jet up there to tail one of these planes with an air sampling device and suck some of it in. Then we'll know, okay? It might turn out it's just water vapor.
Well, I think 90% of it, 99% of it probably is.
Yeah.
But you know, there's definitely weather modification. I mean, I was up at the snow just recently, and they're openly saying, they're openly saying, oh, well, you know, the weather modification brought to, like, you know, cloud seeding brought to you by so and so corporation, and I was just thinking, oh my god, so they're definitely using chemtrails in that sense. But
well, yes, that's done with aluminium and barium, I think. I mean, anyway, look, for those who don't know what chemtrails are, there's a lot of people who claim that there's aerial spraying going on, and you know, you look up in the sky sometimes and you do see these white trails. And some say that it's water vapor.
But well, there's contrails, which are condensation trails, and then it's good. But that's a whole other story. We won't rabbit it on too long. You can do your own research.
Absolutely. And the point is, like, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring about positive social change. Now, we've got to there are so many things going on at the moment that we have hard facts on, and we've got to really concentrate on those.
And just to quickly push on the last what you last said about getting involved, even if it is just donating your time at the local old folks home or something, you know, that's a positive thing for your local community. And they're all good things as well. And they all lead to better things. If you know, you're not confident going out there and being a bit more, about some of these topics, you don't know too much, or you don't know how to engage people, but you like helping. I mean, there's great things like that. And I'd say that's all part of activism. It's all part of it, is helping you and being a proper tight-knit community instead of a community that doesn't care and just watches so you think you can dance on TV and never really does anything good with their own lives.
Excellent. Really well put. You know, we've got to change our basic concept of who we are and what we are. And, you know, we've been fed this television mentality for decades, generations. You know, we've got to rethink about what we are, and that involves certainly waking up and doing research and discovering some things that are very unsettling, okay? But that doesn't stop there. You don't just find those things out and then just spend all your time on forums and sort of talking gloom and doom and not doing anything. That's ridiculous, Okay, you start when you realize there's a real problem, and you know maybe you've researched fluoride and you know fluoride shouldn't be in our water supply, okay, and you think, well, I've got enough facts here. Well, you do have enough facts, okay, and that means it's incumbent upon you to do something now. We just don't have the time. Josh and I don't have the time to go on a sustained activism campaign about fluoride. I think it's important. I think someone should be doing it. I know there are groups around Australia doing it. You know, that's just one example. You know, but
there's simple things also people can do. You know, DVDs are so cheap nowadays. They're literally, you know, 15 cents a pop. And if you just sit there at night while you're watching telly and just burn off, you know, 50 DVDs, get one of those reels and just find a documentary that you really feel is very powerful. For instance, you know, there's great fluoride ones. There's the Monsanto, The World According to Monsanto. There's 9/11 Truth DVDs. I mean, there's all sorts, right? And you can go to BitTorrent sites, or you can even go to YouTube, and there's plenty of websites that will suck a YouTube video down into an AVI, and you can then burn that to DVD. But you know, there's all sorts of ways, and I'm sure our listeners are techie enough if they're downloading podcasts to figure out how to burn DVDs, or ask a friend. You know, we've all got friends that can do it, and you know, and then hand these DVDs out. I mean, that's something that's so simple to do, or leave them lying around with top secret written on them. You know, people will just pick it up and think, well, what's this, and then play it. I'm sure if you leave a couple on the train with top secret written on it.
And look, don't be shy. I'd like to actually send out a challenge to everyone listening to talk to a coworker about something you've been keeping to yourself in the next week, okay? Just talk to a coworker.
Talk about this show.
Better. But make a step towards, you know, challenging your own limitations here. And you'll find each time you do it, it's interesting. You'll always find that there is a surprising, you know, okay, you actually need to talk to not just one person. You need to talk to a few people, because you will find here and there people are very blocked. And that may put you off, but then you'll find the next person you talk to is actually really interested. So don't just talk to one person. Talk to 10 people over the next week, okay? Set yourself an objective, and you'll find a percentage of those will respond in a surprisingly interesting way. And
Another good thing you can do is order a T-shirt online that says, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or something like that.
Yeah, that's
and you'll
a
be
really
amazed how many people come up to you and go, "Hey, yeah, I've heard about this," you know, and you start talking about it, or you know, or carbon is not pollution, you know, carbon dioxide is not pollution. You watch how many great conversations you have, and don't be scared of you know, because no one's going to beat you up for your views. You just, if you're calm and collected, and you just talk about, hey, yeah, well, I don't think this is this. And sometimes it can get heated, but it rarely does. Very rare. I mean, in fact, it's never happened with me, because I know how to handle, you know, just to stay calm. And you just talk about, because some people are very passionate about fluoride's good for your teeth.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, actually, you know, there's been studies found that lowers IQ by a large percentage. And, you know, then you're going on. But things like wearing T-shirts is great.
I would suggest if you're the sort of person who gets really passionate when they've had a few drinks, I'd be careful of that, because sometimes tempers can flare when people are a little bit, you know, had a few drinks. And that's where you do have to be careful. Sometimes, you know, you're in a public space and you're with people that you don't fully know, and they can take offense. And some people will take extreme offense at what they believe to be outrageous conspiracy theories. So you do have to be careful. Okay.
Remember, the biggest thing is if they're too much of a brick wall, just walk away. I mean, it's no point trying to flog a dead horse if they don't come around. Only talk to people that are interested in engaging and are fascinated with your views, you know, and also agree to disagree. You know, that's a good rule to stick by too.
Sure. I mean, look, I've had a bad experience in a pub once. I was threatened because I said that, you know, 500,000 Iraqis had been killed in the Iraq War, and an Irishman took offence at that. And he wanted to punch me out, actually.
That's nice of him, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he was trying to chat up a couple of women, and I was talking about this subject, and he didn't like what I said, and he was trying to prove that he was, you know, whatever.
Macho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look...
And what'd you do?
Look, I just... Discretion was, you know, the better part of valor. I just... I got out of there.
Yeah.
You know,
it will happen. Exit stage left, even.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got out. Look, I guess we should move on. We'll just take a little promo break here. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia. www.truthnews.com.au. And may the truth set you free. Okay, back with the news. Now, we got a whole lot of stories hot off the press here. Josh, do you want to take off or shall I take off?
Well, this whole vaccination thing is absolutely going out of control now. And this is a global thing.
Look, the vaccination question is really going crazy in the blogosphere. I have to admit that. It's taking over all of the other issues. Continue, Josh. Yeah.
No. We've got countries like Greece ready to enforce mandatory swine flu vaccinations. Some senator in New York or something wanted to, but we've got more detail on that.
Greece. I'll just read you from the story here that was published. Greece will vaccinate its entire population of 12 million against the H1N1 swine flu pandemic. The Mediterranean country, which receives 15 million tourists every year, has confirmed more than 700 swine flu cases and no deaths. Okay. But nonetheless, it says here, we decided that the entire population, all citizens and residents, without any exception, will be vaccinated against the flu, Health Minister Dimitris Avramopoulos said. Okay. That's from Greece. Now, we've had... France?
Can I just interject there? Can I just interject very quickly? The H1N1 vaccination has actually got H1N1 virus in it. Live H1N1 virus.
Yeah, well, they'll claim it's attenuated. They always claim it's attenuated, you know.
It's attenuated. But, it has it in it. And so even if you haven't got swine flu... Everyone in Greece will have it after this.
Well, you know, from my growing study of this topic, what I've come to understand is that the real problem with the vaccines, I used to think it was more the problem of the virus in the vaccine. Now what I've come to understand is the real problem is what they call the adjuvants that are in the vaccine.
Yes. They're the things like the mercury.
Yeah, they're totally... usually inorganic compounds or elements like mercury, metals, you know, aluminium, or squalene, which is an oil. I'm not quite sure what the actual chemical nature of squalene is, but what they have in common is that these are extremely toxic substances, and they actually provoke an extreme reaction from your immune system.
Well, they're called adjutants. I mean, that just, you know.
Yeah, adjuvants with a V.
Oh, adjuvants, right.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they're called adjuvants. Their role is to actually agitate. Yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it. The debate over vaccination, I mean, it's a huge one, but let's just cover some of the news stories here because, we just read to you a story there from Greece. Okay, Greece is going ahead with what they're calling a mass vaccination campaign without exception. Okay, the U.S. state of New Jersey has announced that they will be mass vaccinating and it will be compulsory. And there is a news story on that, and we'll provide notes for that with a video. And you can see that, yes, they've stated that it will be compulsory. And, you know, there's a lot of resistance to this, okay? And it won't be one shot, it will be three shots, folks. Three separate flu shots. And that's what will be compulsory for residents and their kids in New Jersey. Now, if your kid doesn't get the vaccine, they'll be kicked out of school, okay? That's how it's going to work. So, well, they've also announced in the UK, I think they announced that they'd stockpiled 40 million vaccines or so. Here in Australia, they've announced they've stockpiled 20 million or so. There were announcements in France that they were talking about mandatory vaccination. I think the state of Maine in the US has also talked about it. Sometimes, you know, the question of whether it's fully mandatory or whether just highly recommended and you know, sort of pressured is a bit hard to distinguish. I mean, quite often there isn't much of a distinction between compulsory and just they're going to put a huge amount of pressure on you. But if that pressure includes things like, well, you have to be vaccinated in order to stay in your job, I think we might as well call it mandatory, because, I mean, who's going to quit their job over a vaccine? Most people won't, you see. Some of us will, or some of us will find a way to fake it. And I do recommend to our listeners, if you really are concerned about this and it does come to that, fake it, because you don't want to lose your job, okay?
Fake it. Learn a bit of Photoshop, you know.
Yeah.
Scan one of your friends' certificates in and put your own name in there. You know, there's plenty of good Photoshop artists out there. Just it's I mean, that's definitely what I'm going to do. You know.
Yeah, look, I mean, we have to fight with all available weapons here. We can't just stand on some, you know, principles of honesty when those who are trying to steal our rights are not standing on any principles whatsoever, and they're lying to us. And there is a real issue here with people who might actually be under threat of losing their job, okay, and their life and their support and their mortgages. We need, above all, though, we need a mass movement of protest. And, you know, again, you know, as we've been saying, you need to get out there, folks. You know, and We Are Change is going to hopefully be involved in some of these protest movements in Australia. There are groups, and there are, you know, excellent organisation in Australia. I think it's called the Vaccination Awareness Centre, and that's run by a lady by the name of Meryl Dorey, who's actually been on our show.
Yeah, we've got to have her back on the show about this, because it's starting to really come to a spearhead. I just found another here. The New York State is talking about making flu shots compulsory.
Yeah, that's the state of New Jersey. That's what I was talking about before. In fact, I've actually got that one up here. Would you like to? I'll tell you what. I'm going to play it because I've got the YouTube up here. It's quite an interesting story. So just stand by here. We'll play it.
Many parents are weighing whether to give their kids a flu shot. As we recently reported, federal health officials now recommend all children 6 months and older get the flu vaccine. But one state has created an uproar by requiring parents to give their young children the flu vaccine, or they will be kept out of school. Sharon Alfonsi reports from New Jersey.
The ritual that brings tears to so many children's eyes now has some parents screaming right along with them. With the state of New Jersey now mandating every child who attends daycare or preschool to get the flu shot, or they'll be kicked out of class.
I have a really big problem with the mandatory flu shot. I think that in this great country, we need to have choice.
Louise Kuo Habakus is a New Jersey mom with two boys, one of hundreds of parents now protesting the New Jersey policy.
No American should be legally forced to play vaccine roulette with their child.
Worried vaccines could cause everything from asthma to autism, they rallied outside the New Jersey State House this week, voicing support for a bill that would allow them to opt out of some vaccines. But the state has full confidence in the vaccines and is not budging.
If we allow parents to pick and choose their vaccines or the particular vaccine choices for their children, that it could potentially put not only their own kids at risk, but also the community at risk.
Health officials say children spread germs.
Just want to pause there. Just want to focus on what she just said. That was a representative of the government. If we allow parents to make their own choices, it could threaten the rest of the community. Staggering, isn't it? Breathtaking.
Breathtaking.
Arrogance there. And yet, you know, the person who's saying it probably thinks that she's being really genuine and thinks that she's, speaking in the best interests. And look, we'll get onto that in a minute. I'll just finish this.
So easily, the state has to step in.
But no other state mandates flu shots for children. There are similar battles playing out. In Maryland, school officials threatened to put parents in jail if they didn't get the required vaccinations for their children, arguing those parents were putting other people's kids at risk.
I don't understand why I would need to vaccinate my children in order to keep you safe. If you think about it, that kind of logic just doesn't make any sense. If you're vaccinated, you're safe.
A debate as personal to parents as the shots are to their kids. Sharon Alfonsi, ABC News, New York.
Okay, there we have it.
Well, that's what I've never understood. I've never understood that logic. It really drives me insane.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, I'll give you their reasoning. Okay, I'll be the government for you.
Okay.
Did you want to go first? So I mean, I'll give you the government position.
Okay.
Here it is. It's all about what we call herd immunity. Okay. If we immunize 100% of the population, that means 100% of the population will be protected.
Hang on. You're talking about herd immunity. It's not population. We're tax cattle. We're tax livestock.
Okay. If we immunize 100% of the livestock, what that means is that it's less likely that any individual beast will become infected. And because it's less likely that any individual beast will become infected, it's less likely that there will be an epidemic. See, is this... this
well, that's
is,
great.
This is
that means
reasoning.
I can be that one individual that then, doesn't get it because all the herd have gone and...
But then you are seen as I read somewhere, someone described it as you are a walking biological weapon. The unvaccinated child is a walking biological weapon, you see. The unvaccinated child is a threat to the whole of society. The unvaccinated child is a danger, you know, is a
look, folks,
something to be feared.
I'll tell you right now what is a threat to society, and that's big pharmaceuticals pushing this kind of bull onto our civilization, saying that we're all herd, saying that we're cattle, and saying that we, if we don't get a bunch of despicable, disgusting heavy metals in our body, that we're going to be a biological weapon. I mean, that mentality is so sick. You know, no one's sitting there talking about, hey, did you know a lack of vitamin D, if you have plenty of vitamin D, you are like 90% less chance of getting the flu. Hey, if you eat lots of really good fruit and vegetables, you have 90% less likelihood of, you know, is there any talk of actual nutrition? Is there any talk about any real things? No, it's all about this patented pharmaceuticological answers to something that's been with human beings for centuries, and that is influenza. I mean, and I'm not saying that Western medicine is crap. I mean, thank God for Western medicine, because quite honestly, they've done some amazing things. I mean, if it wasn't for that, asthmatics would be dying
remember,
left, right, and center.
Many doctors oppose vaccination. Got to understand this. If you watch television, you'll think no doctors are opposed to vaccination. Completely false. Many doctors are against vaccination. They don't have a voice. And if they ever do speak up, they're told that they're quacks. And they can even, you know, have trouble practicing because they have to be quiet about it. A lot of doctors are quietly opposed to vaccination, but they don't want to talk too loudly about it because they don't want to lose their own jobs. That's the situation.
No, that's right.
We need those doctors to come forward with the bulk of the population. If we had a million
people...
And
I tell you, doctors, I tell you right now, yeah. GPs out there that are opposed to vaccination, there is a huge market. You will not lose clientele. You will gain clientele because there are plenty of people, folks like us here at this radio show and our listeners, 90% of our listeners would agree that vaccinations are, and they're just looking for a GP that's actually got a head on their shoulders, a brain in between the two ears that actually looks at science and looks at the research, isn't just some sort of pill vending machine, just some sort of guy that just gets a few holidays from these pharmaceutical companies so he gives out more of their pills. You know, doctors that actually research the white papers and find out what's good for their patients and cares about their patients. I tell you, there's a huge market for that, and it's in your favor to come out and say I'm against vaccinations, because I tell you, there's a huge clientele and you'll get more of it, especially if you're open and vocal.
Indeed, and look, we have to really emphasize as well that you mustn't don't be bamboozled by the color of law. Don't let them convince you that something is actually mandatory when it isn't. Now, I was talking to someone today who has a small child, and he was telling me that it is possible to get exemption forms for any child in any school or any childcare center. So whatever you may have heard that it's mandatory for your child to be vaccinated, you've only been given part of the story. And that's kind of the way they want it. They want you to think it's mandatory, but you'll find there are avenues that you can go down and you can get an exemption form and they have to accept it, okay?
Look, so, it's nobody's bloody business. It's nobody's business if your child's been vaccinated or not, honestly. I don't care about this whole herd thing. If everyone else wants to get vaccinated and they think they're so safe, then they can feel safe.
Well, that's right.
Because they've been vaccinated. But it's nobody's business what pharmaceuticals you have or haven't shoved down your gob or put into your bloodstream.
Well, that's right. And, we have to realize the facts. Okay, the facts about influenza is that influenza-like illnesses are only actually caused by the influenza A or influenza B virus in a percentage of cases, and I don't have the exact figures, but it's only nowhere near 100%. What you would call flu or flu-like symptoms can be caused by many different causes. Okay, so when you are given a vaccine that supposedly protects you against influenza A, it's not necessarily going to stop you from getting the flu as you know it, okay? This is technical stuff, but it's really important. You've got to grasp this because this is how you can see through the deception that is being pulled over your head when they say, oh, you must have this vaccine because it's going to protect you against the flu. Well, no. It is, according to them, going to protect you against influenza A virus strain XYZ257, maybe. Okay? The flu or flu-like symptoms can be caused by many different factors. Many different infections or disease conditions can result in the flu-like symptoms. And again, we must emphasize that every year thousands of people in Australia die of the flu. So if they're saying 10 or 20 have died, it's nothing, okay? It's really nothing. I mean, more people die from bee stings than that, okay? I mean, people die of, falling down, just falling over and breaking their neck, People slip in the bathtub. Thousands and thousands of people are killed in motor vehicle accidents. And that really is a serious problem. If anything, there's any serious thing we should be very worried about is motor vehicle accidents, because thousands and thousands of people die in those. Okay. And it's preventable. Okay. But with the flu, it's just incorrect to say that there is a terrible problem here, especially with the swine flu, because as we've seen, the swine flu manifests as a very mild form of flu in most people. And you just look at it, you look at the situation, look what's going on. There is no terrible emergency. There is no disaster going on. You've got to differentiate what's being told to you on the television and through all the media from what you actually can see and what you can hear and what you know, okay?
No, well, there's hundreds of flu strains, and each year, the vaccine, they get there's a scientific body, I think it's the World Health Organization. They get together and the 12 scientists, they sit around a table and say, right, we think it's these two strains that are going to be the big ones this year. We think,
yeah,
and so they go and create these vaccinations, massive amounts of them around the world, of two of them out of hundreds. And they were wrong for, I think, the last 8 years or something. They were wrong with the wrong strain. So all these people were injecting, you know, really quite toxic stuff into their bloodstream with no avail at all, even if you think that vaccines work, which is quite questionable. And look, a lot of people go, oh, you're a creep freak, you know. Of course vaccines work. Our standard of living, and if you go throughout history, always things like plumbing come along, which drastically drop, pandemics. Things like hygiene come along, and you know, a lot of these times vaccines come along at the same time, and the vaccine is what gets the credit.
Yeah, look at the graphs. Look at the published graphs that show you death rates from all major illnesses, including those that received vaccinations. And you'll see that the decline was the same. Whether the illness had a vaccine for it or not, it declined at the same rate. And this is proven. This is totally uncontested and is never talked about by the advocates of mass vaccination. And another fact you can find by looking at the graphs is that there was a decline in, for example, measles. Let's look at measles. The death rate, and you look at the statistics, and you look at what the government and medical authorities will give you, and they'll show you a little graph, and you see, vaccines were brought in here, and look, the graph goes down, down, and down from when they brought in the vaccine. But they only show you part of the graph. They show you the graph from when vaccines were introduced. They don't show you the graph from before vaccines were introduced. And you could go back 100 years before that point, and what you'll see is a straight, you know, a diagonal line going down at the same rate. And at the point in which they brought in vaccines for measles, the disease had almost died out. It was already in its final tail-off phase. Of course, if you chop the graph off at that point and just look at what happened after that point, it looks as if it's going down as a result of the vaccine. It's ridiculous. A child could see through that. But most people have never had the benefit of seeing these graphs. I saw them years ago. And, once I saw the graph, I realized I'd been totally fooled. I mean, you can't go around it. You can't argue against it, okay? I mean, the diseases were in massive decline. They brought in a vaccine. And in some cases, so for example, with polio, after they brought in the vaccine, the disease went on the increase again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And a lot of this stuff, you know, it's so complex. It's and then you get these sort of so-called professionals, which I like to call repeaters, because that's all they do, is they just repeat stuff that's been told to them. They're just very good at memorizing figures and so-called facts, and they'll just bamboozle people with dates and times and stuff without any sort of references. And that's why it's really important, folks. Do your own research.
Yeah.
And do it well. And whether you choose to vaccinate, and I'm not saying that vaccinations can't work. I mean, surely it's a great concept to be able to preemptively make your body, fight something, a virus or a disease that will you that is spreading or that you could catch. I mean, it's an amazing concept, and I'm sure it could work.
But so is like eating herbs. You know, eating herbs is a great idea too.
Yeah,
and
I mean that's the thing.
If you eat fresh herbs, and have excellent, you know, good quality food, and the right amount of exercise, make sure you get some sunshine.
Very important. I mean, it's coming out now that vitamin D, you know,
yeah,
a lot of the time,
but not
they're
too
saying,
much sunshine, but yeah, like some sunshine, yeah.
Well, there's a massive lack of vitamin D in people, deficiency in
well,
people.
Well, we've had these massive programs about slip, slop, slap, and, you know, staying out of the sun, because we've been threatened with the terrors of skin cancer from the sun, you know, and the creams, the sunblock creams, are not, I wouldn't recommend using them. I mean, I've looked into that, by the way. And that the sunblock creams, they will stop your skin from burning, but they don't actually stop the frequencies of ultraviolet radiation, which are associated with skin cancer. The studies have shown this, that the frequencies of solar radiation, which cause skin cancer, are not the same frequencies as the ones that cause burning. They're actually different. So if you cover your body in sunblock, right, and walk out and just go out to the beach and bask in the sun all day under the burning hot sun in the middle of summer, you know, a stupid thing to do, of course, right?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. And if you do that, thinking, oh, I'm protected because I got sunblock, well, sorry, you're an idiot, okay? Because your body was not meant to lie in the burning hot sun all day, okay?
Mm.
Right? Mm. I mean, you know, nature says get in the shade in summer when it's hot. Of course you do. But in winter, it's actually quite okay because the sun's much weaker. And you can actually lie in the sun. But, you know, look, you've got to get back to understanding what the body needs, you know. And the body needs a good, basic amount of exercise, basic amount of sunshine, good amount of food, not too much, not too little. You've got to get the right amount of sleep, you know. You've got to have friendships in your life, okay. You know, you've got to have love in your life. Yeah, that's a bit too much to ask, I know. But, you know, you've got to have all that. Otherwise, you are going to get sick. And even if you have all that, you're going to die anyway, okay? So don't get too worried about it, because we're all dying. We're all mortal, okay? But we want to just have the best quality life that we can and live to a good old age and have something, you know, to communicate as we get older to the younger people that are coming along.
Well said.
Yeah, thank you.
Well said.
I'll just take a little break here. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Okay, on with the show.
You know, just one quick thing before we move on.
Yes.
I was just looking at google.org/ flu trends.
Yes.
And this year's flu's right down in Australia. I mean, compared
really?
To other, compared to past years.
That's extraordinary, isn't it?
Way less.
Isn't that extraordinary? Know? Well, we'll put that on the show notes.
Yes.
Very important. Very important. But look, There's other fish to fry. I mean, we've got the ongoing saga of terrorism, the war on terror, the what I and many of us believe to be the phony war on terror, and here in the land of Oz, we have been subjected to yet another media blitz on the great terror of homegrown terrorism, which is just waiting there just to jump out and grab you, you know, like the boogeyman just hiding in your closet or under your bed. And yes, it's all happening again. Massive arrests, 400 police and ASIO officers converged on homes across Melbourne.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a massive
400.
It was a massive operation of ASIO and the federal police. Now,
it's such a circus, isn't it?
Look, I mean, I have to point out, we don't obviously have all the facts, and we are very limited. We can only go on what's in the news. But what I do know is this: there were no actual attacks, or they hadn't even begun. Like, there was no actual crime in process or in progress, okay? It was what they call a plot, okay? Now, that means nothing has happened, right?
And tell us if this amazing plot, Harold.
Okay.
These geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we've seen, often these amazing plots...
I'll say that sarcastically,
yeah,
folks.
Well, often they turn out to be elaborate sting operations where the police are actually involved, and then they pull out at the last minute and then arrest them. Okay. Now...
what you're alluding there to, Harold, was the last guys that got busted in Melbourne under terrorism laws.
Yeah.
Basically... And this never really got much airplay. It did. They mentioned it, but they span it really strangely, right? So
yes.
there was these sort of, you know, fundamentalist Muslim guys who were kind of nutty and crazy, but totally inept. They Indeed. Really couldn't do anything. They were really crap at anything. I mean, they just had a sort of. They were just annoyed at the Iraq war and the Afghan war and their Muslims dying and all this, right? As you would be.
Yes.
And along comes, they then get infiltrated by ASIO, by an ASIO policeman, and this policeman goes around training these guys to make bombs. So they go out and on the news they showed the video of them exploding this bomb in the forest.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and he taught them how to make the bomb, and they even exploded it. And then, finally, what happens? They all go in and arrest all these people for making bombs and all this other stuff. And it's like, hang on a minute. The Australian government puts people in there, trains them up, and then arrests them. I mean, it's just a total setup job.
Yeah, I think some of those cases are still on trial. One of them, I think, was actually convicted. Quite often, when they initially launch the case, then they have to downgrade the charges. But Ben Breaker, I think, is the one who's the centre of that particular case. His name is Ben Breaker.
The news, you know how the news spin it? Luckily, ASIO infiltrated the gang. Luckily... Jeez, it's because of ASIOs that they're making bombs. I mean, they literally can't rub two sticks together, these people. They're quite half-wit. You know, half-witted. They really are quite thick.
Well, let me just recount here what the alleged group that we're dealing with here is. They're called Al-Shahab, and they're supposedly from Somalia. And the report here says they may be linked to Al-Shahab. Okay. A militant Islamist group. Now, here's some facts. Al-Shahab is an Al-Qaeda-inspired militant group that has taken control of much of southern and central Somalia, which has been mired in anarchy since warlords toppled the military dictator in 1991. Al-Shahab's hardline militia is waging war against the government and Ethiopian allies.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just interject there.
Yeah, yeah.
The main people selling weapons to Al-Shahab and to other militant groups and to the governments,
yes,
the fledgling government in Somalia is the United States.
Okay.
I mean, the United States government sells massive amounts of weapons around the world and they've, I mean, it was just in the news lately that they've sent all these weapons to the fledgling government over there. I mean, it's this sort of crazy idea that it's, you know, that these terrorists get weapons from they make them themselves. No, they get these amazing weapons from massively established governments like the UK, America, Russia. And then they go on to say, oh, they're terrorists. It's like giving the mafia... selling the mafia guns from the police. It's like the police selling the mafia guns and then going around trying to arrest them. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. It's another nice Orwellian double whammy, you know. It's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Look, we'll just play you a little bit here from a recent ABC News piece on it. This is going to be a new one on me. I just got this up here. We'll just play it a little bit and then we'll stop and perhaps comment. Because, you know, we're learning as we go with this. We're being, you know, very dynamic news team here. So we'll just play a little bit from the ABC.
Let's go to the Melbourne Magistrates Court now, where two men have appeared on terrorism-related charges. Reporter Helen Brown is outside the courthouse. So, Helen, what more can you tell us?
Roz, so far two men appeared of the three that were charged early this morning. Abdinoram Ahmed was the first man to appear. He's been charged with one count of conspiring to prepare for an act of terrorism, the same charge as that applied to the man.
I'll just pause it right there. Did you hear that? Conspiring to prepare? Did you? You've really got to listen to the actual words they use. Conspiring to prepare. Wow. Okay.
So that's a conspiracy theory, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. But he wasn't conspiring to do the act. He was conspiring to prepare to do the act.
Appeared in court yesterday. Interestingly, he was also charged under a Commonwealth Act where it's an offence to enter a foreign state with intent to commit a hostile act, and as the prosecutor...
Wow. Did you hear that? It's an offence to enter a foreign state with an intent to commit a hostile act. What do you notice about the language? I mean, you know, do you notice anything interesting or odd about the language? Of how disembodied it is, how depersonalised it is. It doesn't connect to anything that you could understand under, you know, common law principles of crimes, you know, murder, you know, stealing.
No, with the intent. I mean...
Yeah. You've entered a foreign state with the intent to commit a hostile act. What does that mean? Well, maybe you're going to, you know, cut a chicken's head off. You know, how do you define... What's a hostile
the thing
act?
The key word is there, the intent...
Well, the intent,
that means
doesn't it? Yeah.
Nothing's actually happened.
Yeah, it certainly means you haven't done it. Your intent, well, you know, that's really pre-crime then, isn't it? You're not really...
No.
You're not talking... We've moved into a new phase here where really you've got to look to science fiction to understand it. Yeah. It's pre-crime.
I mean, I had the intent of going for a jog today, but I didn't, you know.
Yeah, well, that's you know...
Didn't, you know. I mean, yeah. it's really, and look, we're not standing up for fucking, sorry, I didn't mean to swear there.
No, we can.
We're not here at Truth News, we're not standing up for freaks that want to blow themselves up.
Absolutely.
It's despicable. I mean, there are nut job freaks out there. Don't
there
get me wrong.
There certainly are.
But generally, these huge attacks are usually... like the bombs in Jakarta and stuff, are usually state-sponsored because there is massive vested interest in pushing past new laws, pushing past new bills to gain more monetary, more money from the people's taxes to new hardware, to justify the purchases of new hardware and push through new more laws to take away freedoms. I mean, it's always happening. Just look throughout history. Just look throughout history, folks. It's just constant. It is constant.
It is indeed. Look, we'll just continue with this news story.
Explain to the court that was essentially about procuring someone else to fight in the conflict in Somalia. So that man is on two charges. It was indicated that a bail application would be made later, but not at this point, so he was remanded in custody. The second man, his lawyer had asked for his identity to not be revealed, and that question was still going on when I left court. But I can tell you that he has been put up with one charge of conspiring with others to do the act of terrorism. We're yet to see the third man in court.
And Helen, any news about more possible charges being laid?
Victoria Police have indicated that the fifth man who was arrested is also likely to be charged later. He is remanded in custody already, and they're saying it would be a similar offence. The courtroom was packed, not surprisingly.
All right, there's nothing much more there. Look, as you can see, there's nothing much to this story. It's going to be just like an onion skin. You're going to keep peeling away at it, and in the end, there's going to be nothing there. Okay, I just know it. I know it in my gut. I've seen it too many times.
Yeah, and folks, the alleged plot that these guys had was to attack an army base.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you notice you didn't mention that there, and yet that was what the main story was yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe they're backing away from that now. Maybe they find that's not going to gel. But that was trumpeted on the news. That was trumpeted on the news proudly. Yeah. You know, oh, they were going to mount an attack on an army base. Well, what a ridiculous plot that would be. I mean,
who comes up with a plot like that? Let's attack the most heavily, you know, armed section of this country. I mean,
what would be the motive? There's no motive. I mean, Australia isn't involved in Somalia. There's got to be a motive for it to even sound reasonable. Look, it's just typical of what's going on. And this is not just in Australia. It's happening in all Western countries where we're seeing this vilification. And it becomes a mechanism, a technique for increased government control. And
it allows a venting for the media to have, you know, the 3 minutes of Orwellian hate on TV, you know, so we can all hate someone. We can all, you know, and we
absolutely
can also justify the wars, these wars of aggression overseas. You know, we can somehow justify the killing of innocent farmers and innocent children in Afghanistan, whose body count now, I might add, is absolutely excelling to ridiculous new heights.
Yes, in the Orwellian view, the war is self-justifying. There doesn't have to be a reason for a war. War is its own reason. It's really important to understand that. And that is, I think, George Orwell, you know, was an utter genius. One of the great heroes of modern
literature,
civilization.
Yeah,
yeah, because he articulated it so clearly. War is a scam. War is a racket. Okay.
It is. And there's a great paper by the late, I think he's a
Smedley Butler. He was a general, actually. Yeah, yes.
He did a great essay called War is a Racket, and in fact, we should read it out one time. It's a bit of an...
It's an excellent document.
You know,
I have actually
15 minutes.
I have actually read it too. It's you know, he wrote that document in the 1930s at a time when there was a threat that the United States was going to be taken over by a fascist coup, and he was one of the whistleblowers who prevented that occurring. While you know, the Nazis were basically growing in influence in the United in Europe, there was similar moves afoot in America, and he stopped it. And you know, he was a great hero too.
Yeah. So the other bits of news we have here are
take it from the top.
Well, this is a nice one. I mean, UK government to install surveillance cameras in private homes.
Oh, love that one. Love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is all under the protection of children. We have, you know, but basically, and along with this act comes a whole, there's a few things that they want to pass through. It's a paper.
It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, I read that story. I just, you know, I was totally... My eyes were popping out of my head when I read that.
Yeah, the government is calling this a scheme, called the Family Intervention Projects. Now, what they want to do is, part of this project is to get neighbours to dob on people that they think are parenting wrong, right? And this will then put these families, and this is all, apparently it's still... you know, voluntary to install CCTV cameras in the homes. So you've got, you know, Stasi 2.0 happening, where you have the neighbors dobbing you in, and then you've got the nanny state literally becoming now the nanny state, where, you know, I mean, this is probably the third, fourth time we've mentioned Orwell, but I mean, how ridiculously Orwellian is this, where you have the camera and a TV screen in your home watching you and watching your parenting style by the state, by the government? I mean, it's insane. It's so insidiously insane. And you know what people will say? People will say the same old stuff. They'll say, oh, but if you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't worry. There's cameras in your home, folks.
And they'll say, they'll also say, oh, well, these people who abuse their kids, they need to be watched because they might be abusing their kids, you see. Now, I can agree that these people who abuse these kids are absolute scum, you know. And anyone who abuses a child, anyone who beats a child or molests a child is total scum, okay? I have no respect for that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the children are the most precious things that society has got, because if the children aren't treated well, you get, you know, things like Holocausts happening in a couple of generations' time when these kids have their own children and treat them just as badly.
But this solution here that they are proposing is worse than the problem. It's just increasing a problem rather than doing anything to really help. Because obviously, if there are cameras, in the home, well, whoever's going to do the bad stuff is going to make sure they do it out the back. They're going to find out where the camera isn't pointing, and then they're going to do it. And they're probably going to do it with double the enthusiasm that they would have done it before, because they're going to be so angry about the cameras everywhere. And it's going to increase the bitterness and the frustration and the sense of alienation that people feel. And there will be more abuse, not less. I guarantee it.
I find it absurd that I even have to try and justify why it shouldn't be happening.
Well, yes, it is, and it's disappointing. It's so disappointing that we even, you know, we find ourselves. It's similar to the torture arguments. We find that we've got to explain why torture isn't acceptable. we do. We have to continually go back to these very, very basic arguments about why, you know, abusing people, why treating people like animals, why using, threat of force to basically achieve objectives is completely unacceptable, because it seems to have been forgotten. Our society has morphed into this statist mentality that looks at a rule rather than thinking about what the purpose of that rule might have been. They only look at a rule now. And there was an excellent blog article that I read on this topic. I might try and fish it out here, because it was quite short, but it was really accurate. And it was basically saying that, you know, when a law is formulated, supposedly the law is there because it's based on a sound principle. But then what happens is you turn it into a law and you destroy the capability of a person to come up with that as a decision of their own anymore. It becomes merely something that was thrust upon you from above. So you take away people's freedom of choice by giving them a rule instead. And the more you do that, the more you disable people, the more you make them incapable of actually coming up with any good idea for themselves.
Absolutely. And not only that, the more you control from above,
yeah,
the more it actually... look, England... London is the most surveyed place on the planet. Surveilled. It's literally the average person gets photographed 300 times a day just stepping outside your door. That's outside.
Yes,
it'll soon be inside. Hopefully not. But that's more than Europe put together. All of Europe put together is in London, the so-called center of the free world. Along with America, you have crime is going through, is only going up. So you've got more surveillance cameras than ever before, and crime rates are going up. You know, banks have CCTV cameras everywhere. They still get robbed, folks. Cameras do not stop crime. Yeah, they can catch people after the fact, but it doesn't stop criminals.
But what it does do, what it does do, is it creates the wrong mentality, the idea that somehow that this is going to protect you. You know, it's a false mentality. I'm not against the idea of having cameras in public places for our protection, But I don't think they're going to protect us. Okay, but I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. But what I see is this basic principle being misused of observation, surveillance, control. It's a false connection there. Those who wish to, those who have reason to commit acts of criminal violence will do that. Now, putting cameras up, it's the most pathetic, utterly pathetic concept that I can imagine of trying to deal with this sort of problem. It is such an absolute admission of the failure of human civilization, of everything we've lived for, everything we've been brought up to respect, to just fall back on some ridiculous laws, some draconian, you know, rules and measures, and cameras watching you. I mean, what they have in prisons. That's how a prison
works.
That's what they
have in prisons. Society is becoming its own prison, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are in the section of the prison that's the most free than the other prisoners because we've only got cameras. But the thing is, the only way you stop crime or minimize it, because you'll never stop it, the only way you totally minimize it is by growing the middle class and having a richer community, a richer people, richer in terms of wealth, of happiness. So,
and really living up to those ideals that we've been educated with of equality, you know, fraternity,
helping others,
equal rights. Not just treating those as some little historical vestige where we sit and watch Martin Luther King and go, oh, that was nice, you know, wasn't he a wonderful man? No, you idiot. That's something you've got to live. You've got to actually make it real. Otherwise, it's pointless. It's a joke, okay? You've got to actually activate that. And if you see that there is injustice, if you see that... you know, a man walking down the road gets tased for no reason, and then the police charge that person under a totally trumped up bogus case because, you know, they have to justify what they've done. You've got to be up in arms. You've got to be banging on the courthouse door. You've got to be making a huge fuss about it, and not just sort of going, oh, I'll turn a blind eye to that because, you know, I'm more concerned about going out this weekend and having fun with my mates, or oh, I'm just concerned about my kids' schooling, or, you know, I'm just concerned about... You idiot! You totally selfish, blinkered moron! Okay, that's all I can say, if that's the way you think. Because you have no future, okay? None whatsoever. And all the little illusions that you think about how you're going to become a successful yuppie are just a pure fantasy and a joke. Okay.
Yeah. And look, the other thing about surveillance cameras, folks, is that, you know, the other day a colleague of mine said, oh, Josh, you'll be hating that. There's a surveillance camera over there. And this is at work. There's a surveillance camera over there. I said, I don't hate that. And it's at work. You know, private. I do not care whatsoever if a private company or a private home wants to put a surveillance camera in their property or around their property. Not a problem at all. What I have a problem with is centralized government doing that to the citizenry. Because when you have a centralized government setting up control grids for the citizenry, you can end up with a totalitarian state where you cannot have dissenters anymore because the control grids are far too tight. And that is exactly what's happening now. As you know, I saw this story on Today Tonight, how great it is. We're really helping society by looking at how many people. And then, you know, they go and interview the token libertarian and saying, oh, we don't think it's any good, without giving him any sort of chance of actually extrapolating against for the argument of why they aren't any good. They just say, oh, they aren't any good. and And then it goes on about how much crime it's saving, and or no, how many. And they always show these clips of people doing ridiculous things like kicking of an ATM or tripping over or trying to ride a push bike really drunk and then fall, and then the police coming and arresting them. And like really trivial crap things that cameras would have picked up. Of course they pick them up, you know, it's not a problem. But it's this notion that all CCTV cameras are evil. There's no, they are inert. What I don't like is them being in the hands of a government.
Absolutely. Look, we're going to take a little break for a song. And actually, I'm going to try and fish up that article I was mentioning before because I think it's quite interesting. Just going to take a little break for a song here. Look, here's a song for anyone out there who's feeling angry. It's an angry song. And it's also a song for anyone who's ever been let down or, you know, hurt by someone that they might have cared about. This is for you. Oh, my player's not working. I have this problem sometimes with the player. That little soundboard thing sometimes doesn't work. I had it all set up there to play.
It's all part of the joys.
I had it all set up there to play. Now, just if you can just keep talking, Josh, while I
locate. Yeah. So, folks, I'd like to also thank someone, one of our listeners sent into us, they donated a mixer for us, which is just so wonderful, and I'd like to thank him personally, put that thanks out there. He was from Perth. Stuff like that, you know, I mean, people donating stuff to the radio show is really fantastic because we really literally run on the smell of an oily rag here. So anything you guys can do out there, as well as, you know, like we were saying earlier, send through news articles or, you know, try and help us out. And if we make mistakes, you know, correct us, put comments telling us, because this is why we're called Truth News. We don't know the whole truth. We're not some, you know, prophets or anything. We don't say that we are. We're just normal people like you and I, like everyone else, and we are trying to find the truth, and it's up to our listeners to really help us.
Well said. Excellent. Okay, now, as promised, here it comes.
You got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. You down, you know it's not like that. If you're so hurt, why then don't you show it? You say you've lost your faith, but that's not where it's at. You have no faith to lose, and you know it. Behind my back, I used to be among the crowd you're in with. Do you take me for such a fool to think I'd make contact with one who tries to hide what it don't know to begin with? Street, you always act surprised. You say, how are you? Good luck, but you don't mean it. When you know as well as me, you'd rather see me paralyzed. Why don't you just come out once good when I see the heartbreaks you embrace. If I was a master thief, perhaps I'd rob them. And though I know you're dissatisfied with your position and your place, don't you understand? It's not my problem. I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, and just for that one moment I could be you. Yes, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes. You'd know what a drag it is to see you.
Sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Okay, we're back online, we're back in cyberspace, we're back in the blogosphere, we're back in the consciousness sphere. That was Bob there before. Look,
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, a great favourite of mine.
What was it called there? Do you know that?
Oh, that song's track? Called Positively 4th Street. Yeah, that's on the list. That's what on the Rolling Stones list of greatest 500 songs of all time. Quite a few Dylan songs. I think Like a Rolling Stone is number one on their list. Not that I value such things, but in that case I do. I just happen to agree. Okay. I don't care, okay? I'm not afraid to say it. Okay.
Well, the good thing about that song, it was just enough time for me to make a cup of tea.
Well, there's something positive there to be said. And look, let's just kick on. We have just a massive amount of news. A lot of it is related to the vaccine scare, but I think we're going to just have to, you know, skirt around some of that because we've already dealt with a lot of it. There's one point I want to make about the vaccine scare that we haven't talked about tonight, and which we have talked about on previous shows, which I think we need to just revisit. Because there's a lot of talk out there that there is a plan to exterminate humanity. And that comes from, you know, the community of, you know, conspiracy theorists, for want for a bit of a word. I mean, that is a conspiracy theory, let's face it. Okay. You know, the idea is that, well, you know, this vaccine is going to kill us. Some have
like 80% of the population is 85.
Now, some have claimed that there's going to be three shots, and that there are claims that there are going to be three shots. I think that was in that previous one of those interviews we broadcast. So it's a three-shot vaccine, and therefore it's going to be not a single shot's going to kill you. It's going to be like the first shot turns off your immune system. The second shot it fills you full of lethal toxic organisms. And the third shot actually reactivates your immune system and creates what's called a cytokine storm. A cytokine storm is actually it's a real word. You can look it up. Cytokine starts with a C. What happens is your immune system kills you. Your immune system goes insane.
It overactivates.
Yeah. And this is actually how people did die in the Spanish flu. And it can be quite horrific. You know, you can be coughing blood and just really can be dreadful.
It's an autoimmune response.
Yeah, your body can just self-destruct. Now, you know, if they really do have a plan that's that far advanced, I don't think there's much we can do. I certainly hope it's not the case.
The reason why you brought it up, though, is to say, look,
it's up to us to make protests and not, you know, simply walk like idiots into the gas chamber or whatever. And it really is important, because it might not be happening now, but it might happen in 20 years. It might happen in 40 years. There might be a really evil government one day that comes along and does decide to, you know, I mean, they're going to make 20 million vaccines, okay? What if they made a mistake and they created a bad batch of, say, a million, you know, toxic ones, and, you know, they could kill a million people like that? You know, if we all just simply take the shot, it might not even be deliberate. It might be an accident. But if we all just idiotically stick our arm out and take the shot, we are inviting that kind of future for ourselves, I believe.
Yes. So the other thing we wanted to talk about today was the Goodwin Grinch.
Yes. Ah, goodness me.
Godwin Grinch.
The grievous case of Godwin Grinch. The grim case of the Grinch. Look, I shouldn't be so satirical, because the poor guy is in psychiatric hospital, okay? He's in a mental hospital, okay? And it was widely trumpeted in the media yesterday that he had confessed. But they use these terms. You really got to analyze the media. You've got to analyze the newspapers.
So hang on, confess to what? Who is this fella?
Okay. Yes, we did an exclusive. We did an intensive on Godwin Grinch a few weeks ago. And he is a government official who was implicated in what's called Utegate. It's a government scandal that involves sort of cronyism and claims of cronyism that the government was handing out benefits to its mates, and that then lied about it. And the person who was responsible for leaking this information was none other than Godwin Grinch, the hapless government official who forwarded an email. The email had some something from a close associate of Kevin Rudd in it, and saying that, implicating the Prime Minister directly in this sort of slightly, nefarious business. Now, of course, it was completely denied by the government before. Then the email surfaced, and the government was made, a lot of egg on the face there. And then suddenly the tables turned, and the egg was on the face of the opposition, because the government just brought in the police. They brought in the Australian Federal Police almost as their personal sort of their lackeys.
Yeah. You can have your own police force. If you the Prime Minister, you can just call in the AFP, and just raid some places without really any sort of, you can just use them as your own personal, and then you can just go on during work time and use question time as some sort of public prosecution of someone.
Absolutely. Now, I said at the time when we did our first piece on this, that I'd say that Mr. Grinch would be a suicide risk, because they're going to totally destroy this man. Next thing I find, he's in a mental hospital, okay? And although that, you really have to read carefully, you won't see that, it's not obvious, but you read into the story, and here's a story that was published in The Punch, which is a new Murdoch publication, thepunch.com.au. It's kind of a blog style publication, but it's really written by journos. Yesterday they published this: The Godwin Grinch Interview That Could Sink Turnbull. On the eve of the Auditor General's report into the Utegate affair, the senior Treasury official at the centre of the scandal has revealed why he fabricated the email. The exclusive interview with Treasury's Auscast scheme director Godwin Grinch in Today's Australian has the potential to inflict new damage on the leadership of Malcolm Turnbull, because it shows Grinch believes he was used by the Liberals for political gain. Now, that's actually got a link in it, that story, the exclusive interview with the Treasury's Auscast scheme director. Now, I followed that link, and I'll do it again right now, because it links to the actual article, and it says an exclusive interview. Now, when you hear the word interview, what do you normally think, Josh? When you hear the word interview, I expect to hear, like, to see, if it's written, a transcript, it'll be like, you know, if it's you and me, it'll be Harewood, and then Josh, Harewood, Josh, quote, quote, quote.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the link that it goes to. And the title of the article is Why I Faked the Oscar Email. Why I Faked Oscar Email, Godwin Gretsch. That's the headline, right?
Yeah, because you can't fake an email. Just an email, whether it's, you can't.
Look, it just gets worse and worse. This story gets more and more ridiculous. Here's how the article begins. Godwin Gretsch has admitted he created the fake email, and they put that in quotes, right? Fake email at the heart of the Oscar affair, and claimed that he passed the contents of that email to Malcolm Turnbull under enormous pressure. Now, those two words are in quotes, enormous pressure and fake email. Nothing else. Yes, there's a couple of tiny little bits here that are in quotes.
I just don't understand. What is a fake email?
It's never been explained.
That word,
it's never been thrown around
yeah, like crazy. And everyone goes, oh, fake email. But logically, it doesn't make sense. You can't have a fake email. Yeah, you can go and forge in it. You can go and sneak into someone's computer and someone's Hotmail account, pretend you're them, send it to yourself. That, I guess, could be a fake email, but that's not even fake. It's a forged email.
But Josh, it gets worse. If you read this article, read it right through, and you know, listeners, please read this right through, because nowhere in this article is there any quotation of Godwin Gretsch actually saying he faked anything. They've put it in the headline, and they're calling it an interview, but there is no quote. It is not based on any quote that they've substantiated in the content. That's what you call yellow journalism. That's what you call total deception, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
I've read the entire article, and it actually says here that he still insists, if you go further into it, it says, well, here's one quote. He says, "My concern was that the issue of Grant could be used to frustrate the passage of the bill." That's actually in quotes. Okay. It says here he admitted to an error of judgment in creating the email. Again, nothing in quotes, nothing actually. It's not "I did it." He's not saying that. They are paraphrasing, not even paraphrasing. It's not even paraphrasing, folks. They've just constructed a complete paragraph that they are now telling you he did something. But they're calling it an interview.
Don't bother going to thepunch.com.au. Don't bother. Just go to counterpunch.org. That's a much better website.
Absolutely.
You know, just don't even support these freaks that come out with such rubbish, such filth for journalism. Really despicable, disgusting. I mean, this, you know, I don't like politicians at the best of times, but here's this poor guy. He's in a mental asylum now because of this whole thing. It's all been totally overcooked.
It says here in the article, he still believed there had been an original email from Kevin Rudd's office urging help for Ipswich car dealer and Labour donor John Grant, but conceded it could not be found.
So he says there was an original, and then the headline says that he admits it. He faked it.
I know. I mean, let's. We have to go back to George Orwell to explain this. This is doublespeak. This is things totally telling you opposites in the same article. Your head is going to be spinning round and round. You know, like in The Exorcist, you know, because you have actually
believe
been
the biggest one. You know, you believe because the bigger font, which is the headline, says that he admitted it.
Yeah.
So you sort of stick with that because you skim read the rest of the article. You know, but, I mean, that's what the society that we're living in now, folks, is all about headlines. I mean, just look at Twitter. Twitter is basically headlines.
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're living in a world of headlines. And when you come out with a headline like Grinch admits, he faked an email.
Yeah, why I faked the email.
Yeah, why I faked... I mean...
Look, let's just talk about doublespeak here for a second, because what you've got to understand about doublespeak is that there's a reason why when they want to deceive you, they tie everything up in knots and say 2 plus 2 equals 5, 2 plus 2 equals 4, you know, black is white, up is down, you know, because by doing that, you actually disable the brain. Okay.
Yeah.
And if a person actually takes all that in, they will be unable to form a conclusion at all. And that is what they want.
Now, this is from Wikipedia. This is the definition of doublespeak. Doublespeak is language constructed to disguise or distort its actual meaning, often resulting in a communication bypass. Doublespeak may take the form of euphemisms, e.g. downsizing for layoffs, or deliberate ambiguity.
Absolutely.
But I think it goes further, actually.
It goes further than that.
It's where...
Well, actually, I think in 1984, we had double think as the key concept. I think double speak is kind of an extension of the Orwellian concept. Double think, and if you probably Google that, you'll probably get a more extended definition from the actual book. Double think is actually the ability to contain two opposites simultaneously and simultaneously believe both of them. And that was in 1984, that was the goal of the party, is to make people be able to have two completely opposite views without feeling any contradiction in their head. And they could both be true, or neither of them could be true. Or on one day one could be true, and another day the other could be true. And the goal was to have a society of people who could live that way and not see any problem with it.
Totally malleable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. People can just think something else. You know, we're at war with these people, the next day we're at war with them. I mean, that's kind of happened now with Afghanistan and Iraq. And we're at war with Afghanistan.
And it's now so serious.
Now we're at war with Iraq. Oh, now we're at war with Afghanistan again.
Oh, yes, and we hear all these dreary interviews about what's going on in Afghanistan, and they say, oh, you know, we killed 200 Taliban fighters, were killed, and, you know, we're going to improve security, and, you know, more forces are needed. Forces must be brought in, security forces, to stabilize the country. And then, you know, 100 Taliban fighters were killed.
Yeah, and this really pompous British accent. Yeah, absolutely. You know, on the BBC, you get this ridiculous, pompous accent telling them how much more troops we need over there because, and how many Taliban fighters, like, exactly. And do you know the thing is, how do we know that they're Taliban fighters?
Oh, yes, Taliban fighters.
You don't know anything.
You know, they have a special uniforms that they wear, and it's all very clear, you know. I listened to an interview not too long ago on the BBC with the supreme commander of the forces in Afghanistan. He was the retiring commander. And you know what he said?
What?
I mean, this should make your jaw drop, okay? And it was a jaw-dropping moment in an otherwise totally boring interview, okay?
Yeah.
They started talking about Osama bin Laden briefly. And he said, oh, look, most of us think that Osama bin Laden's dead and has been dead for a very long time. And
sorry, that was my jaw dropping.
Yeah, right. It sounded like your jaw was made of glass. Anyway, yes, and he said, you know, a lot of us think that Osama bin Laden, he's American, you know, most of us think that Osama's probably dead. He's been dead for quite some time. And the interviewer said, oh, really? Well, what about the videos? So are you saying that the videos aren't real? And he sort of chuckled a bit. He said, well, you know, some of the intelligence community think they're real, about half of them, about 50-50, you know, split 50-50, you know. Some of them think they're fake, some of them think they're real. You know, and then they just quickly moved on to another topic. Okay.
This is the alleged
mastermind of 9/11. This is the alleged, the videos of Osama confessing to 9/11 are like the centerpiece of the US case for why they're even in Afghanistan. I mean, it's just... You know, but that was just said in passing. You know, you never hear it again.
No, and in fact, there was another story. A whistleblower came out. She was a translator. Had just basically said that, and she was
Sibel Edmonds.
Yeah. And she basically came out saying, "Well, that Osama bin Laden had been on the payroll, the US payroll." All the way up until 9/11, trying to, and they were using the Taliban and Al Qaeda to radicalize the Muslim sections of China, just in case there was a war with China, that they would have like their Northern Alliance, like they did in Afghanistan, against the Russians. They would have the Northern Alliance style alliance in China, and so they were trying to radicalize these Muslim sections of China all the way up to 9/11. And then when that happened, you know, he was outcast or whatever, and patsied out. But this is huge news. You don't see it anywhere, you know.
You don't see it. And that's it.
You see that Master Chef is on the telly, and you see that, you know, some bogus knobs in Melbourne get arrested for even thinking of attacking a military base. I mean,
it's ridiculous and absurd, and we're just gonna not stand for it. We're not even gonna sit for it.
No, we're gonna talk about it, folks.
We're gonna stand up.
If you've got any comments, truthnews.com.au is the address.
Don't forget it, and you know, look, if you do one thing today, send an email to your friend. Use our email a friend option that you get in your regular email. And invite a friend to join, okay?
Yeah, and join the twit. Join us on Twitter. Follow us.
Yeah, don't be a twit. Be a tweeter.
Be a tweeter. Yeah. we're constantly putting great headlines out on Twitter.
We are. We just pump it out.
So there's good stuff there to keep in touch and keep us in touch as well with the stuff that you guys find.
We do. So I think that about wraps it up for tonight. It's been superb. Thanks for your company.
Yes, thanks, listeners, for joining us again, and good night.
Good night.